Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches.
As well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Right, that's it. Monday morning, World Champs done and dusted. So we thought we'd bring you our main Sunday episode, wrapping up our last day from the Champs. That would have been, what, day 10, Matt? Day nine. And then also kind of our highlights of the overall week, because it has been a brilliant Champs, as always, though. So we'll get into a bit of that. What should we start with, mate? Men's five or the women's eight?
Well, look, you know, we are British. Basically a British distance running podcast. So let's start with the women's 800. I thought, you know, this Saturday was always going to be one of the highlights of the Champs. Kind of looking forward to it all week, weren't we? And obviously we only spoke yesterday kind of talking about the race itself. But fair play, Mary Mora delivers. And we weren't surprised. I think we just completely, you know, there's so many people to take into account in these women's 800s and kind of focusing on Keely Veet Moo. And, you know, Mora, for me, has kind of looked pretty good all season. Obviously, she had that upset to Keely as well. And I actually just think, maybe it's harsh to say, but she just got herself in the right positions and she really wanted it.
Yeah, I think. It's an interesting point you mentioned, because I think we did our predictions yesterday. I think before the Champs, I said Moore is probably the one, the danger. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's a surprise that the best three in the world got the three medals. And in an 800 World Champs final, yeah, it's never guaranteed. So in that sense, it's not an upset at all. I think just from a British perspective, it seems like a bit of an upset. But look, Keely's got another silver medal, and it must be, it must be quite bittersweet, because I think she has gone up a level this year in terms of her racing on the circuit. She seems kind of more like a more complete athlete, but
I don't know.
I'm not finished my point yet, mate. I'm saying, but then she hasn't. The point is, yeah, this doesn't really matter until the Champs. But I do think on the circuit, she's been better overall than she has been previously.
Now, I don't know if I agree with on the circuit, because like she came out, you know, blistering fashion, 155 in Paris, then gets beat by Mora, then doesn't actually do that much on the circuit. Let's be honest. She kind of takes a slightly different approach than she did last year, where she was kind of on the circuit racing quite a bit in Diamond Leagues before Worlds. And then sort of comes home second at Worlds. I thought last year she was more impressive on the circuit to me. She was winning a lot more races last year on the circuit and she was doing more races. And I think this year they made a conscious decision not to do as many races. Obviously, she had to do British Champs as well. And then obviously she kind of, you know, took a slight, this is what I'm saying, took a slightly different approach, decided to go to Euro under 23s in the 400, and kind of spend a bit of time doing that. So she was taking a slightly different approach. I don't think she dominated the circuit as much this year as she did last year, but I think that was down to like her not wanting to.
Yeah, I think the fashion she's been racing in, though, she's always looked, apart from that one loss against Mora, she's always looked so in control of everything this year until until yesterday. And I think, yeah, I guess we need to break down the race a bit in a bit more detail. Like, for those of you who haven't watched it, obviously make sure you do. 800, it's not too hard to kind of go watch it back. But I think, yeah, I think Mo's obviously gone to the front. I think she was, what, 26 through...
26-1.
26 through 200, but then 56 at the bell. And they were saying on commentary, oh, if Mo's going to go to the front, this is not actually that quick. I'm thinking, that's 152 pace. Like, it's not... It's
56,
not.
Is, 56 is plenty quick enough.
That's what I mean, and I was a bit surprised at that comment. I know often we see, obviously, big positive splits over 800, but... Yeah, 56 is plenty quick enough. And I almost think Keeley's issue was that she went with it through the whole way. I think maybe go through in 56, but why are you going through running 26? Obviously, she's a little bit behind, but why are you getting sucked into that? Because for me, if she, like, Keeley is the best one at running an even pace. And if she just, like, and yeah, it's hard to do, like, obviously. Everyone who's running 800 knows it's super hard to do and to be that disciplined. But if she went off a little bit slower through that first 200, I think she's the one that's then coming home flying on the home straight. But it, I think Mo, like, played to her strengths, and that's why she got a medal in a way, is that she took it through in a pace that she always does that and kind of can kind of handle the lactic in a sense in a bit. And I think Keeley's not as comfortable doing that. Going through super quick and then just slowing, because you got to pick up again. Like, if you run 26 and then a 30, that is not a good race rhythm for someone like Hodgkinson or Riki, who also went with it.
I agree with that. I agree with the first lap probably being a, yeah, crazy
positive. It's more the speed and then the slow, and then you got to pick up again. Like,
I think, yeah, I actually was going to say the opposite. I don't think, you know, Keeley got involved enough at the right time in that race. She kind of, especially around that bottom bend after they'd gone through the bell. I think, like you're saying, because she'd gone through quick, she needed a rest as well. Like, yeah, not a rest, but she needed to come off the gas as well, because that first 200, they all did. Whereas if she'd done a more measured effort, she would have been able to move up around that bottom bend and on the back straight, but she didn't, because I think she was like, I am pedal to metal right now and I need to save a little bit for the home straight. But yeah, I don't think she took a closer order enough at the right points in that race. She kind of sat back a little bit too much. And like, Mary Moore has probably, you know, the best finish out of them all. When you just look at like pure change of pace, I know Keeley's got a great finish. And she's quite, and Keeley's good off a fast pace. And in Diamond League, we've seen her run away from the field that last home straight, just purely just because she's better, I think, than the rest of them. And she's measured her race a lot more even. But yeah, Moore's got the best finish, you know, the way she can just accelerate away and change pace. And I just think she just gave her too much room. You know, she could have, again, I think she'll look back at this race and she'll be like, that's the race I could have won. And I think last year was the same, how close it was with Moo. She could have won last year as well. And I think that's what will probably eat away at her and frustrate her a little bit.
And this year, she actually got that inside line as well. I saw her coming down the home straight, and I was thinking, oh, it's going to be the same last year. I think Mo's going to shut the door. But she managed to come through on the inside this time. The gap opened up because Moore was coming around the outside. But yeah, I think it was hard for her to kind of take closer order in that race because, yeah, like I said, I think that first 200, just a little bit
too hot, wasn't it? I mean, she was saying about how still, you know, apparently, you know, again, it was the quickest 400 she's ever been through in an 800, Keeley. So, you know, clearly maybe a little bit of a weakness there that she can't cope with, like, a, you know, because 56, I suppose, you know, if you're going to run 155, you know, 56 mids, 56 highs, you know, shouldn't be crazy.
I think she'd have been all right, but I think she needed to be a bit more.
Yeah, 27 high and then a 28 high. Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
And then she would have been able to kind of actually use her tactics. Because I think, like you say, if you're kind of working super hard, the last thing you're thinking about is where you're making moves. You're just thinking about not getting dropped and staying in touch with the leaders. And I think that's the problem is, and I think that's probably where I think Mo had the upper hand in a way, because we haven't seen her race and because of her reputation, you think, well, I can't let her go. If you're Keely, you're thinking, if I sit off here and let her go, that could be the race done and dusted, like it's all over. So it's probably why, whereas if you've seen her on the circuit a bit, you're thinking, well, she's not in 154 shape.
Mm.
Actually, I'm in just as good shape, so I can give her 10 meters on the first 200 and she will come back. Whereas I think Mo 2 years ago, that's why Keely didn't win in Tokyo, because she was kind of racing for second place. So
I do think when you look at Mo Mora, I think she's got more about her. She can run a race in many different ways. I think, as we just discussed about Keely, I think she likes quite a controlled race that she can almost dictate. That's when Keely is at her best, when she's dictating races. I think when she's at the front, she's controlling the pace. She's the one who decides to surge and push on. That's when she's most dangerous. When we've seen Keely in these situations, it's hard. She's racing some phenomenal athletes. Like, they are so good. But I do feel like Mora just has, she's a bit of a box of tricks, isn't she? She can just cope with more. She can cope off a fast pace. She can run off a slow pace. She can run erratically. You know, she can be boxed and push her way out. Like, you've seen her do, I think she's done better in those situations than Keely ever has. And I think that's why she was able to win yesterday. She ran most of the thing. Let's give Mora some credit. She ran most of the thing in lane two on the shoulder of Mu. Like, it was outrageous. I thought that was going to cost her the race. But it didn't, obviously. And, you know, again, she just attacks that home straight, had a bit more kick and a bit more left. And I just think credit to her. Like, she is a phenomenal 800 meter runner. Let's talk about Mu then, because she's had some very long interviews, and so I was kind of watching them all last night, and just again, we mentioned this before the champ, she was all season long, she has made it worse and worse and worse for herself. Like, it was going to get to Worlds. Like, the media haven't been able to get their hands on a thing move. Like, she's done what, one race and then US trials and then Worlds. Like, you've done literally zero interviews. You've been messing everyone around by saying you're going to run, you're not going to run. Like, what do you expect when you go to Worlds? Like, you're going to be asked some hard questions. People are going to want answers. They're going to be like, you know, what was up? Why didn't you want to go to Worlds? Like, you know, and she just couldn't really give any answers either. It just sounds like she's really struggling with the pressure, to me. And yeah, she, in the interview, she's kind of saying like how, you know, no one, she doesn't think anyone on the circuit or any athlete has had as much going on as she has. And I was like, well, that's a bit unfair to say, isn't it? Like, how do you know? You don't. You know, and she sort of mentioned how she's changed coaches and moved to LA. And I'm like, all decisions you've made. is that it is a big deal, but when you're a professional athlete, you make these transitions, you know? But to me, she just strikes me as someone who just actually is very, very good, doesn't enjoy the sport that much. And I think that's a shame. And, you know, she was kind of like, I'm really looking forward to being done with running this season and having a break. And I'm just like, I get that. It's the end of a world champs. Like, you know, you're going to feel fatigued and stuff, but I'm just like, why are you doing this sport if you hate it that much? Why are you doing it if you hate the media? And like, do you know what? If you actually spoke to the media more, they wouldn't be so, I don't even think the media are out of order, but they wouldn't have so many questions to ask you and stuff like that if you actually spoke to them all. Like, and let's not get it twisted. I don't think the media are running at anything bad. They are tame.
Yeah, compared to a lot of other sports. Yeah, I mean, look, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I think, yeah, it's difficult one, isn't it? Because I think she's had a good season, to be honest. That's the...
Not bad, like 30 US, 30 US and 1500.
Yeah, if you haven't been able to run all season, yeah, you're the world and Olympic champ, but bronze medal is not nothing to be snuffed at. Because I think, if I'm in a position, I'm thinking I'm the best. I've then had an off year, still managed to come away from a medal. Then there's no reason why she can't go and defend her Olympic title next year.
I think all, I think
But
all
yeah,
of her is.
the desire's not there. The desire's not there. I think it's she's had a well, like a quick transition out of being like a collegiate athlete, hasn't she, into being the best in the world. So
Yeah, she's what, the same age as Keely, both 21. And you know, Keely manages herself way, way better. You know, she is confident, she's headstrong in interviews, like, you know, she nails the interviews. She's always in the, you know, the public eye, and a thing move seems, and a thing move, I don't get it. You know, she says she doesn't want to be in the public eye, she wants the media to leave her alone, and then you turn up at World Champs with some jewels on your spikes. And I'm like, well, obviously that's going to gain attention. She's like, oh, I want it to be different. And I'm like, well, which one is it? You know? And also, you know, people are saying like maybe she had an injury. She has never come out and said she's had an injury. You know, Sydney McLaughlin did. And I feel like if you're not going to say you had an injury, chances are you didn't have one. So chances are this is just all kind of mental. But again, you know, I think this is her, this is self-inflicted. There would not have been as much pressure on her at this champs if she just ran a regular season and she was regularly you know, talking to the media and showing up, you know. But all this fussing, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to do it, that's going to make the whole situation worse, you know, having to delete social media and all this. I just think it's a shame that, you know, such a high profile athlete has such a bad relationship with the media. And obviously, like, she doesn't need to, but you know, a part of me does think she, you know, she's benefiting. Don't get me wrong, financially, she is benefiting from being the level she is. So I just feel like sometimes she needs to give something back. And what does she expect, you know, to be that good? What do you expect?
Yeah, I think this is where it's difficult in athletics because like there's no throughout the regular season unless you are at the meets there is no kind of media commitments, so it's sort of you go to the champs and then they're all there, like you do have media commitments because you're kind of repping Team USA or whoever it is, because there's no like league that you're signed on to, there's no regular kind of requirements for those sorts of things. So I think it is some athletes must find that difficult going from where you have a choice to where you don't have a choice. And I think other sports athletes at that age are prepped more because of those things. Like imagine you're a 19-year-old and you're the best player in the Premier League, for example. Your club will be prepping you for media, or that will be coming through as you go through. Whereas in athletics, you can go from being a collegiate star, you win the Olympics. There's no sort of like protocol around that.
I think what Moo didn't like is, or maybe what she doesn't like as much is the fact that there was such a rivalry between like her and Keely, and that thing was building and building and building. And I think Keely, obviously being the underdog in that situation, gets a lot more from that rivalry. Like that's always motivating her. She's in interviews like, you know, she doesn't come out and say like, yeah, I want to beat her. She obviously says she want to win, but you know, Keely's not like going after a thing Moo in this situation, but I think it's a lot easier for Keely in that situation from, you know, to be the underdog and to be the one who's always coming second fiddle, because you know she's got nothing to lose, whereas the thing Moo, I do get it, is has every, you know, everything to lose. Well, that's how she'll see it, you know what I mean? And I think that's what she finds so hard. So hopefully losing this Worlds is the best thing for her, and she can just kind of get back into enjoying the sport and just racing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, she, yeah, you're right. Like
I
the
do,
media.
yeah, I do think that hopefully, yeah, for a thing mode, like the pressure is almost off a bit now. And she can think, oh, I can kind of refocus and get ready for the Olympics next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting one. And I guess without knowing everything that's gone on in like her camp this season, like it's hard to, yeah. But I do think that's where. Like yeah, it'd be interesting to kind of have media access all the time, because I think that's the thing about athletics. Like the press do want to ask questions because they're like, well, I may not be able to ask a thing
Yeah,
back.
when's the next time I'm going to
Yeah,
speak to this woman?
exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
so they're asking quite like yeah, but. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, back to the racing. Just a word on Gemma Reekie. We kind of predicted, look, she could get a medal if she kind of plays her cards right. For me, I think she almost got after a bit too much. I think the way she was going to get a medal was if she picked up some pieces, like potentially if she'd sat off and then was picked off a thing though, like faltering in home straight. But at the same time, I think I said in the preview as well, it's good that Riki's someone who I never imagine her racing like that, because she's someone that believes she can achieve without trying to race like that in a way. And it's good to see, and I think she is for sure back towards her best.
I think she's that, yeah. That is definitely fair to say. I mean, fifth place last night, strong running and just a strong championships all round. And I think, you know what, she's gaining in confidence and a 157.72 in the final, after two races in her legs. So, and it was super, super close out there, yeah, I think it's encouraging to see. And I think for her, the most important thing is I feel like she now is going to build momentum going into Paris. She's going to look at Paris thinking, do you know what? I can medal. I would say, a thing in Keighley, they haven't moved on from Tokyo. They haven't moved on. If anything,
They got worse in a way, yeah.
you could argue they've got worse. Yeah.
Might be better races now, but I don't, yeah, they're
I think
not.
they're better races. They're more accomplished, obviously, and I think they're harder to beat, and I feel like if things. Strength is when she's just blisteringly fast. And if she isn't, then it ends up being a 156, mid race, and she's beatable, obviously, as we saw yesterday. So I feel like the line is almost like that 156 low, isn't it? And if you can run that in a championship race, chances are you'll get a medal. So I think Riki's got it all to go for next year. It's going to be exciting to see how she develops. But yeah, she looks definitely, definitely back to her best. Yeah, Raven Rogers fourth, Nia Aitken's great run for a PB in sixth, and Adele Tracy, we've got to mention her for a PB in seventh. What a
Yeah,
champ she had. Top
she
eight in
had
the
phenomenal
world,
champs.
800, 158.41. And she's someone who's transitioned to 1500. But yeah, so that was your women's 800. I think it lived up to the hype. That is fair to say, and I think that we're going to see some great races next year. Maybe, well, even end of the season, we've got four Diamond Leagues left, but some great races next year. And Paris is going to be hard to call, to be honest with you. But man, let's move on to that men's 5K. Jakob wins. Literally, his champs has been a replay of last year. There was one point where I didn't think he was going to win. I thought Mokotiv was going to hold him off.
Yeah,
God.
Mokotiv was insane last night, and Katia as well. I love how he just celebrates. I love how he finishes second, and like, yeah, he's been pipped on the line, but he's like, yeah, this is fuck me. This is a world silver medal, and he arms straight up, and I do rate that from him. He's always kind of like an emotional character, and like especially yeah, I think after yeah, bowing out in the semis in the 1500, he'd have been disappointed, but look, he's won on the circuit this year. He's won Diamond Leagues and he's got the speed. I think 5K at Champs is really his event, you know?
Well, look, yeah, I think
Yeah,
both
that
of them.
could go 1500, but also that strong. Yeah, he's not going to win a 12:38 race, but he's strong enough, because they're never going to. Like they're never going to go off so quick that they get dropped. I mean, the only way you could do it is if like Cheptegei was properly in like world record shape and
The
just
problem, even where they are, I don't think they can lead it. I don't think they can lead it gun to tape, and it fascinates me. And I think a lot of people, we say, how much do the lights give? And I think, these championship races to me have shown how much the lights give. I think they give you so much when you're on the Diamond League circuit. They just allow you on those later laps just to keep sticking to your pace, clipping it off. And I think,
For me, it's the pressure though, as well. Like, it's the pressure of the champs. Like that, you're not going to risk it on the Diamond League circuit. What risk do you have, really? You're like,
Yeah, it's like
Like you can get to halfway in the race and be like, they get to 3K, right? And when they're running 12:40, they'll get to 3K and their bodies will be screaming at them. They don't want to be in that position in a champs. They never want to be in that position because, yeah, they're like that. Maybe that's their best way of stopping someone who's a quicker win, but it's not their best chance of getting third themselves. And it's an individual sport, so you just don't think you're ever going to get to that point. Whereas, like you see them on the circuit, they'll body bag themselves, and sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't.
Oh yeah, I would have thought we used to see Ethiopians like roll some team tactics. They do not do that anymore, do they? I would have thought, you know, these guys had the ability to take it out. You know, even if they didn't take it out hard, they had the ability to make it a really hard 3K race or a 2K race, you know, to really pick it up. But as it was, it's only the last K that was of any quality. I think the one before that, it was a 64 lap. Like, that's nothing, you know, for these guys.
I know they have their pre-champs camp together, but none of them train together and things like that. They're probably like just as much looking to beat each other as they are working together. Do you know what I mean? I think these days in athletics, you're more likely to have team tactics from people who like in the same training group than people from the same nation. Say you had, I don't know, say like in previous year, say you had like Grant Fisher and Mohamed, and they were actually in a position to be able to have team tactics, you'd be more likely to see that, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think. Like, everyone seems to be, yeah, even if you're from the same training group, seems to be in it for yourself, and I get it. But I think one of them could have put up more of a fight yesterday, you know.
Yeah, but you say that, but then at the same time, if I'm one of those three, I believe I can win. So I'm not wanting to.
Mate.
Do you know what I mean, though?
All three of them, Kjelchuk, Gebrewet, and our guy have literally run 12:40 to 12:41 this year. And
that's why they believe they can win. That's what I'm saying. So they're not going to sacrifice. They're not going to feel like they need to do team tactics with each other or.
Well, they should, because they got absolutely pumped yesterday, to be honest. And Jakobs won that. I think, you know, it's interesting. You know, Jakob said the 5,000 is just a consequence of his training. He loves a 1,500. And I think he really wants to win the 1,500. And Lum, is it fair to say that because Jakob values the 1,500 so much, almost everyone else values the 1,500? And I think because Jakob's in the 1,500, it's a bigger deal. If Jakob does not partake in the 1,500, I think that title is nowhere near worth as much. If Josh Kerr doesn't beat Jakob, I think it's obvious. It's great. Josh Kerr is world champion. And it's the same as Whiteman last year. If Whiteman wins that, it's amazing. Whiteman's a world champion, but it's not worth as much. It's not hyped as much. It's not as big an achievement, because when you beat Jakob, you beat the very best in the world. And I think he just keeps drawing eyes to the 1,500, doesn't he? And I think he's put a lot more value on that event. If Jakob isn't in that event, it loses its kind of shining.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair comment. I think the 15 is always the premier distance event, but I think you're right. I think Jakob has brought some more shine back to it, particularly as not just his name, but I think the way he's almost dragged these fields around. So like everyone's PBs are better, and I think Jakob can get some credit for everyone's PBs, just because in some of these Diamond League circuits, he does kind of become the pacemaker after the pacemaker drops off for everyone else.
He's the biggest name. He's the biggest name. He's a superstar in the sport. And he comes out and says the 1500 is his baby. That's the one he wants to win. He hasn't won it yet. So I think it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Whereas the 5K, I don't know if he cared all that much yesterday. You know, he obviously did care. He was happy. You know, but like you said, it's a consequence of your training. That's why it does it. He definitely doesn't have any aspirations to kind of switch to it. And I was thinking, you know, could he switch to the 5 and 10K, dominate those two events over the next? He's world champion, two-time world champion over 5K. He's going to continue to dominate that event, you would suspect. Could he then go?
I think he'll switch to the 5 and 10 at some point. But
he will. Yeah,
but he's got 10 more years in the 1500 if he wants it. So,
hey, yeah, he won't go anywhere until he wins that world title. I don't think.
I think he wants the world record before he moves on.
I'm just not sure he does it. I'm not sure he has it in him to do the world record.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? So
but,
such a tough record.
But the close yesterday was ridiculous. I mean, it was a 1500 race. It was a 1 kilometer race, really. No surprise, him and Katir came out on top. Jacob Kropp, huge run from him. Lewis Grijalva, fourth again. And interestingly, you know, he was fourth last year. He was a lot more disappointed with his fourth this year. I think that's fair. But what a run by that guy. You know, he's someone on the circuit. He can't live with that 12:45 pace that they run, but he turns up at champs and he delivers. And I think he's a huge talent, a phenomenal 5,000 meter runner. You know, he's beat all three of the Ethiopians. Moab in his seventh, decent run by him. Abdi Nur, I was a bit disappointed with him in 12th after his US champs win. He ran like a 52 last lap at US champs. I'm pretty sure he ran a 2:22 last K at US champs. It was phenomenal.
The US champs just gets overhyped so much that we expect people to perform like at this level.
It actually does. Yeah. Chilingo was world class once upon a time. He's not quite, he hasn't been at his best for a few years now. And, you know, their best man in was 12th in the final.
The best like 5-10K runner that trains in the US is Mohammed, and he's running for Canada. Like, and he's been better than all the US guys for a number of years now.
Yeah.
So apart from like the odd Grant Fisher performance you get, I would say overall, Mohamed's better than those. So like, yeah, US champs just every time gets overhyped every year.
Yeah.
So especially, I think it's easy to read too much into USA's.
And all the distance events. I mean, women's 800, very good. Men's 800, okay.
Oh yeah, obviously
everything else,
sprints and
the average, we're better. Nordas down in 14th.
Yeah, I'm sure Jakob would have enjoyed seeing that.
I'm sure Jakob very much enjoyed seeing that. Even I enjoyed it, to be honest. After his interview, I was kind of like, yeah. You know,
they went through 1550, and I was like, right, that's his race done.
So, but yeah, that was your men's five. I thought it was a cracking race, and I think it was good in a way. Jakob won. I think it adds to the story, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, we were just talking about, I think Moose struggling with the media and stuff. He doesn't, Jakob doesn't. He's always got time for them. He is just one hell of an athlete. And, you know, we talk about, you know, Noah Lyles and people like that are good for the sport. Jakob has made distance running very, very cool. And
Jakob and Kipchoge.
I would say, Kipchoge, but Jakob even more so than that, because he's, you know, he's out there doing it on the track. And I think
Kipchoge for the masses, though. For your everyday someone who's not already an athletics fan, Kipchoge's been brilliant.
One thing about Jakob, I think you've got to remember, is when he races, when he steps on the line, he's racing. I think he's racing, you know, for the 1500, he's racing 11 other people. He has to factor in almost 11 other people. And, you know, look at someone like Josh Kerr. When he steps on the line, he's racing one guy, and that's Jakob. And so I think, you know, we got to appreciate how much harder.
But Jakob puts himself in those positions.
He puts himself in those positions because he's the best. During the season, he's the best, but he's not. Yeah,
he's not the best, is he?
We won't call him the best. No, we won't call him the best 1500 meter runner in the world, because that is Josh Kerr, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes down to a pure race, and he's the man. So love him. I mean, that was yesterday. Women's steeple, Yavi wins it after a few fourth places at the previous world champs. So 2019, she had a ridiculous season, just won everything in sight, was unbeaten, and until she got fourth at Worlds, but. But yeah, so she wins in pretty dominating fashion, to be honest with you. It was you wouldn't call it a procession. Well,
yeah, the women's steeple has been a funny old event this season, hasn't it? Like, it's really been, I don't know, you've not been able to call it anything. There's been a few people, like you mentioned, who've had success in the past, who've sort of been showing like previous form, like different races throughout a year. And then obviously, yeah. Yavi takes the win and the one that matters. So it's difficult. I think it makes it nice and open for next year. in that sense for a few people to kind of step in and come back as well.
Yeah, there was just like some baffling results. Like Almayu, like she's run 9 flat, finishes down in 13th. Like Ethiopia, just not their day. And to be honest, not really their champs. But yeah, Chepkoech pretty much back to her best with it. You know, well, not her very best, not her 8:45 world record, but yeah, you know, sub 9. So it was a quick race. And that's what I mean by it's kind of a recession. The minute it goes off that hard, you know, people are going to struggle to live with it. But some huge national records in there as well. Was it the French lady, Fino, 9:06 for a national record? That's massive, you know, very, very good. Slovenian as well, 9:06. Marusa, massive national record. So fair play to them. Geiger as well with a 9:10. She was always there or thereabouts. So it was a good race and it was very, very fast. So credit to those women. And I think it is becoming quite a regular thing, isn't it, for the women's steeplechases at the World Champs, at the Olympic Games. It's a sub-9-minute race. It kind of always is. They don't hang about the women's steeplechase. And I think it's because there's not quite, we're seeing it a lot more. The depth in that event is getting so much better every single year. But I think that's why it's always quick, because it just is, you know, look, they know up at the front, if they take it at a 9-minute pace, there's only going to be 3 going into the final.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Kilometer.
Yeah, you're thinking, why wouldn't I? Because we just drop everyone else off early.
Straight away.
And yeah. then we can race amongst the best without the risk of someone falling, someone kind of unknown coming in and out kicking you. Makes it really good. I think the men's though as well, like the way the steeples are run, even when they go off slow, they're always sort of like at least like 8:05 is like the slowest you ever see, really. You're like on the circuit and in the channel.
The problem is if you run 8:20 pace or just inside, like that is for the men's steeple, you know, when the world record was 7:52, that is pretty slow. And then they just drop usually drop like a 2-minute last 800. So, you know, it brings, you know, 8:20 pace straight back down to 8:05. When you run that fast over the last, you know, you've gained about 12 seconds on the pace you were running over that last 800. So, yeah. But no, good race. And that kind of wraps up the champs. I was moving a bit depressed yesterday when the credits, the BBC like roll credits on the screen. I was like, oh, it's all over, you know, it's all done and dusted. So Lum, you know, as we, you know, talk about those races, was there a particular race that kind of stuck out this champs for you? Was there a particular headline? Well, I'm just going to say, I thought it was a phenomenal championships and I'm actually bummed and wish we went out there, man. Yeah, we should have got tickets out there. We should have gone and watched, because I thought it looked very accessible. It's obviously only Budapest and the stadium was phenomenal. It was, you know, from us at home, to me, the stadium looked full every night. I know it wasn't full capacity every single session, but it looked it. And I think that was the biggest thing.
Yeah, I think it was great. And I think for me, I've had a bit of an interest in, it's not revelation, but I think previously I used to always be someone who was like, oh yeah, the timetables need to change so that people can double up on events, blah, blah, blah. Now the timetable is sort of set up so that you could do pretty much whatever double you want. I've decided I don't like it, basically. I think the chance is too long. And there's too many basically crap sessions or crap days,
Ooh.
In my opinion. Like to really like market athletics. You say, yeah, you wish you went out, and yeah, brilliant. But you know me, like I love the sport, but I would not want to go sit in that stadium for 3 hours to watch like 3 minutes of running.
Well, yeah, don't get it twisted. Like I mean, even last night, like it was awesome. We had the four.
That's what I mean. Like
after those distance races,
some of the ones I've enjoyed more when I've not been able to watch it live, and I've gone back and skipped through BBC, and it's taken me 10 minutes. And
we always we say this on the Diamond League, you know. I think I do think things could be condensed. Of course they could, and you know, I think we just live in a day and age where people, you know, we don't have 3 hours. Like our attention spans are less, like, you know, we're not, I think, like, for some reason, World Athletics think, oh, for people to get their money's worth, they need to sit in a stadium for 3-4 hours. And it's just not the case, man. You look at all other sports, people are absolutely fine sitting in a stadium for an hour.
You know what I wouldn't mind doing it for is if, and this is going to sound a bit radical now, if you just did, like, no one can double, basically, and just had every final of every event, I would sit and watch that. Imagine that was right. Saturday night, last night of the champs, right, was 100 meter up to the 10K final for every event. That's the ticket.
I think the problem is with that, they're worried that, like, people will be overshadowed. So, you know, everyone's crowned a champion on the same night, who's the biggest champion, if you like? Are people getting overshadowed? So
TV wise, imagine you. And I don't know if it's necessarily best for the athletes, blah, 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 blah. But I was just thinking, like, if you ask anyone on the street, like, not athletics fans, and you just said, like, would you want to watch that? I think people would want to watch that.
You'd definitely spread it across two
yeah.
nights.
And obviously, myself, I'd just want to watch the distance ones anyway. But, I do think... How much of a spectacle would that be in 2 or 3 hours? You see every...
I mean, last night was amazing, but it was because it was the women's eight and the 5K kind of like back-to-back. It's amazing. But yeah, if you throw something else at me, then you throw the 1500 at me, then you throw men's steeple, you know, men's 10, women's 10. I'm just like, oh, this is just, you know, I'm in my element, you know. It's just absolutely amazing. Yeah, so...
That's not against Budapest as the world champs, because I thought it was brilliant. But I thought there's a few. I think it kind of came home to me when we were doing our daily pods, in that there were some days we kind of said, oh, maybe we don't need to do one today because not much has happened. There's been a semi and a heat of something, and that's it. And
I think it's appreciating that athletics fans, you can't be an expert in all disciplines, and this is why me and you focus on the distance, because, you know, yes, I'll watch the sprints, I enjoy it, but we're not experts, you know. And you can't, how could you possibly, I mean, there are some amazing journalists out there who do follow the sport, you know, religiously across all disciplines, and I think they are phenomenal. But, you know, it's so hard to actually follow the sport when you're following sprints, throws, jumps, and distance. Like, it's, I deem distance as its own entity, you know, to be honest with you. I think there's enough in the distance running world that you can just enjoy that, you know.
I mean, we do have indoor, not indoor, sorry, we do have cross country and road as well.
So. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's almost its own sport in a way. And I think that's our listeners as well, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully they're not begging us to talk about the sprints and whatnot. But yeah, I kind of agree with you in that, always have done. But I just thought it was much better than Oregon last year. I thought the crowds, the stadium, the event looked better. Sevco did actually come out and say, he said he wants full stadiums. That's his number one priority. He said long before, you know, and apparently I didn't even realize this. Apparently the London Diamond League didn't even have a main sponsor. They had to ask for extra funding from the National Lottery to get that meet to go ahead. I didn't even realize. And Sebco, you know, he came out and he said, you know, the very fact that these one-day meetings and are struggling to gain main sponsors is shocking. Mm. It's frightening, really. So, you know, his number one priority apparently is to showcase athletics, especially at these global championships, in full stadiums. And, you know, he said that will probably mean avoiding Middle East, you know. And he said, yes, the Middle East may get awarded something, but there'll be, you know, things they need to meet. Because I think they've awarded a few world champs in the past, obviously, as we know. And they've turned around and said, you know, April time, oh, we've only sold 10% of our ticket allocation, you know. And then it's like, it's too late then. When all the way up to that point, they've been promising, yeah, we're, you know, we've almost sold 3/4 of the tickets and stuff like that, apparently. So I'd be interested to see, obviously, Tokyo's the next one in 2025, right? And then we finally have, the athletes will be excited. We're not excited, but I think there's finally an off year in 2026. There will finally be an off year, no more major champs. So we still have Paris and then Tokyo to go. Like, so we've still got 2 more years of major championships.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm getting used to it. I think we should just have one every single year.
Oh, honestly, what is the point, really, of without one? Unless it's
not that bad, is it? Like, it's...
My thing, that's when, you know, when people talk about, oh, we need some sort of like better league system, like where you're running for teams, that's what needs to be on that off year. Everyone should just be like, right, I'm going to race every 2 weeks for the whole season as part of a Diamond Super League type, whatever. Like Puma have a team, Adidas have a team, Nike have a team, and their best athletes like are racing, are like competing against each other every two, three weeks, whatever it is. That's the year you do that. And that's when you can have a Netflix documentary for the people that think that's the answer to the sport, because they're actually all competing in the same meets all year.
By the way, how disappointed on that Netflix documentary, how disappointed were you when you read it was only going to focus on sprinters?
Wait, is there actually going to be a Netflix documentary? Oh,
man. Yeah. So, yeah, confirmed. It's going to be a Netflix documentary. And it's only going to be, I think it's due to come out in 2024.
Probably that's why I've never seen about it, mate, because it's sprinters, that's why.
Yeah, this is the thing, you know, I wasn't that fast. I was like, oh, you know, it's, you know, going to show a different angle of the sport and sprinters. And, you know, when you look at some figures like Jakob Ingebrigtsen, how are you not including Josh Kerr? Like, imagine documenting that, what just happened at Worlds. You know, Keely Hodgkinson, the thing move, imagine documenting them too. Like, I feel like they have more to offer. We would be biased, of course. But Lum, look, you know, this was Budapest. I thought it was a fantastic champs. I actually don't really have, you know, I know we say about the timetable could be condensed. Totally agree with that. Full stop. I think, you know, they can challenge athletes a little bit more as well. Again,
yeah, that's
World
Athletics though, isn't it? It's not the host.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the 800, you know, we saw day on, day off, like, They can condense that a little bit, you know. These are
for me. It's more for the viewing. Like, if you want a full stadium or people to watch the whole thing, it's just mainly the. I'm like, well, certain sessions, like you watch one thing for 10 minutes, then I'll go and do something else for a couple of hours, then come back. That's the.
But you know, we are moving on now to the Diamond Leagues. Coming up, we've got, and again, this is a decision that, you know, I loved it in 2019 when the Worlds was done and there was no more competitions. That was quite cool. So you've got the Diamond Leagues, you've still got four left, believe it or not. And you know what? In Zurich, which is 31st of August, which I think is Thursday night. So what, 4 days after these men have just done the World Champs? You've got the men's 5,000, the women's 800. And the men's 1500. Starlists aren't out yet, so keep a close eye on them. But, you know, we could see a rerun of the World Champs. So I do feel sorry for those 5,000 meter men who have just literally, taken the line for a World Championship title, for a World Championship medal, and they're going to come back out on the Diamond League circuit. So,
interesting one, because it'll be good, but it just doesn't really matter, does it? Unless you lost. For the winners, it doesn't really matter, right?
It doesn't. And obviously, you've got the Diamond League final and stuff. And this is what I mean. Like, sometimes it almost takes away the brilliance and the achievements of the world champs, because we know how quick this sport moves. And you know, let's just say you've won a world championship medal. 4 days later, you go and get stuffed in a 5K in Zurich. Will that take away from your season a little bit? I don't know. And will that just, you know, fans of the sport just be like, ah? And obviously, we're not going to be like, oh, they're rubbish. You know, we're not stupid, but it does take away from that achievement. They should almost try and let it, you know, there should almost be like a 2-3 week block, I think, after a chance.
Yeah, they can always say no, though, can't they? They just want the paycheck, though. So fair enough.
No, fair enough for the athletes doing it, of course, mate. I mean, we're not complaining. I'm excited for it. We've got Diamond. Like I said, we're going to have a rerun of that women's 800. You would suspect, except for Thing Moo, because I think she's well and truly done. In fact, I think Keely said she was only going to appear at the Oregon Diamond League, and that's it as well, on the 16th and 17th of September. So I think she's had a long season. I think quite a few athletes in that boat. So I think it's a good opportunity for people who perhaps didn't go to Worlds. We might see them race, especially Brits. Because I think we even spoke to Alex Burrell, and she was basically, no meet organizers could let her into a race until they basically found out what those, basically saw what happened at Worlds, and to see, you know, those people at Worlds, if they actually want to do the meet or not, basically. So they couldn't confirm, you know, so start lists haven't been confirmed for anything except the Chinese Diamond League, Xiamen, is it? X-I-A-M-E-N. Anyway, that's on Saturday. Got some good races there as well. Brussels on the 8th of September, and then Oregon 16th to 17th of September.
Bonkers.
3 weeks away.
Season by then. We'll be
3 weeks away. It is road season.
Road relay coverage more important. So
road relays, same weekend as Copenhagen Half Marathon. I'm sure many other half marathons and whatnot. I think Berlin Marathon is the week after, isn't it? So and then we are
World Road Running Champs.
Marathon season. Huh?
It's the World Road Running Champs.
Yeah, and that's the first weekend of October. That's the last day of September and 1st of October, I believe. So the World Road Running Champs. So, but Lam, I mean, athlete of the meet, got to be Faith Kipyegon, hands down.
World. I was going to say, for me, the athlete, Kipyegon for sure. And then obviously the race itself has got to be Josh Kerr, hasn't it? In terms of the single.
I
didn't even think we needed to. We can say it, but I think we're both on the same page with that one. Like, Kipyegon's championships overall, fabulous. She's ridiculous. Greatest of all time. But then, Josh Kerr beating Jakob Ingebrigtsen. The singular moment. Yeah, ridiculous.
Men's 1500 next year. Who wins the Olympic gold?
Ethan Hussey.
Yep, go listen to that podcast.
I think one Brit, I don't know who it will be, like someone like...
You think another Brit? Where you think we do a hat-trick?
No, I'm not going to say another Brit. Potentially, I'm not going to bet against them. I mean, like someone who like we've not seen at the champs this year. I think Whiteman and Kerr, but I think our third 15 runner, like potentially could be someone who's like maybe like Estonia, like makes another jump. Someone like Hussey, kind of runs a super quick 15 next year. I think our team could look like very different again. Do you know what I mean? I really do.
I don't know if that team looks. It's so tricky because when you look next year as well, we got to mention the European.
I'm saying we look at last year, then look at the year before. The team's changed. Like, even though we're like, I think in Tokyo we were like, oh well, Hayward, Whiteman, and Kerr, they're now the ones for the next. Like, they all made the Olympic final.
I think Paulie's gone up another level, and I think that's going to be a problem for the Estonians, the Haywards of the world. I think that's a problem for them. So I think that three, you could probably say, it's pretty much if you were going to pick a team, not going to be far off a dead cert for next year. I think, I mean, Mills, Estonia and Hayward.
I think they're the obvious ones. I just think I think the way British 1500 meter running is right now, I think someone's going to be on a cusp of,
For sure.
We don't expect that,
Just quickly, you know, I think it's worth highlighting. For me, the Ethiopians and the Kenyans aren't really that much of a threat anymore. They used to be, you know, when you look, Jakob on the men's five, Mo Katir, and then Jacob Krop. You know, you look at the men's 1500. You know, I know Mary Moore won the 800. When you got silver and stuff, and obviously you have got Faith Kipyegon, who's dominating, but yeah, they don't seem to be. It's almost a completely even playing field now, isn't it? I don't know I think the rest of the world have just caught up with them. To be honest, I think we finally, especially from like a Western culture, we finally just said, look, there's no supplement for hard work, and they've just upped it another level. And you know, we're probably working just as hard, if not harder. And I think we've got the support, the nutrition. When you look at someone like Josh Kerr, and he said he didn't eat anything his nutritionist didn't make for him for 3 months heading into Worlds. I mean, that is some dedication. And that must actually scare quite a few people on the circuit, because they're thinking, well, how the hell am I going to sort of replicate that level of detail?
Yeah, I think it always comes in waves, doesn't it? In terms of like which which nation's the best. Like, we're not going to be the best 1500 meter nation for forever now. We're almost getting back to...
Well, you never know.
No, but there'll be a period where there'll be a lull, and then it'll come back again, you know?
Yeah.
So it swings and roundabouts. And I think, yeah, we'll see different dominance. Obviously, the Norwegian teams are looking good. Like, they're juniors. You hear a lot of things come out of that country, like obviously from Jakob's legacy and Henrik and Phillips. So that who knows where it's going to be. I think next year is going to be fascinating though, regardless.
Oh, yeah. And just to summarise then, we had 18, when you discount the relays, we had 18 top eight finishes. That's including sprints and whatnot, jumps as well. Which isn't bad. You know, 18 top eight finishes. We were fourth on the placing table. Britain were fourth. On the medal table, we were down in seventh with two golds. Josh Kerr and KJT. Two individual silvers, Hudson Smith and Hodgkinson. Obviously, we had the 4x4 mixed relay. And then Zarnell Hughes and Ben Patterson with the bronze. And then the rest of our bronze medals were in the relays as well. So
good for distance, though. Medals in each of those, you know.
I think very good for distance. You know, we've got two 800 medals and a 1500 medal. That's...
Yeah, I guess mid-distance hasn't been the question, has it? It's who's going to come through and get...
That's the question. Do you think we'll have anyone in the 5K, anyone in an event over 1500 on the male side? The women's side, obviously had Jess Judd and then Markov and Ben Keith in the 5K. Those two make the final next year? But do you think we'll have any finalists? Obviously, bar the 10K, because I think Jess Judd and Eilish are insane over the 10K at the moment. But any finalists in an event over the 1500 next year?
Yeah, women's steeple. I think Pratt and Bird back to their best, hopefully. So I think, yeah, those are kind of our best shot for that. In terms of, yeah, don't see any men's steeplers. Really?
Snake.
I know. If I'm being purely kind of looking at it, yeah.
I don't know, man. I actually think, like, they're not as far. I think the Brits aren't as far away as you think you are of the steeple. Like, you know, they run 8:21.
No, I think I don't think they'll go to the champs, though.
No, but what I'm saying, all they need to do is hit that 8:18.5. And I think...
Yeah, and I think... Away. I'm saying, if they're there, brilliant. I just think they're, I don't know, it's tough getting into those races and to run that time. Which one? I think if they were there this year, yeah. But I'm saying I don't think we'll take steeplers again.
Well, that's another point as well, you know. No. Okay.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, the standards, like we keep saying, after this World Champs, you almost look at the standards and you think they're about right. The amount of people they're letting into Worlds, the standards aren't far off. And that's the scary thing. It's not, you know, and I think British athletes are being a little bit harsh by not accepting invite. And I don't think that's the way to go about it. I don't agree with it at all. But when you look at people who did hit qualifying standards, we still had a lot of people who didn't make finals and they were inside the World Athletic standards, you know, and they would have had X ranking. You know,
you had 5K last night.
Yeah, the standard is just...
It's ridiculous. So,
yeah, there's 1240 men coming 5th, 6th and 8th.
So if you can't run 13:05, it's tough, isn't it? It's real tough.
Very tough, mate. Very tough. One thing we will have next year is a few male marathoners. We hope Emil Caress in there, maybe Mark Scott in there as well. Talking quickly of the marathon before we wrap up, Antrim Coast, 58:36. That was one in yesterday, which is just bonkers. Callum Hawkins, I saw around 65 minutes for half. Bit disappointing, but I always look at his name if he's on the results just because we know what he's done. But yeah, so there we go. So pretty much, yeah, should we wrap it up, Lum? And you'll hear us next, hopefully with a guest next Sunday, and then obviously some Diamond League reviews over the coming weeks.
Step
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.